Okay, so you hear about some amazing new medicine and you think, wow, that's pretty incredible.
Right.
But have you ever like stopped and thought about how that medicine actually gets inside your body and actually does what it's supposed to do?
Yeah.
It's kind of a complicated journey, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's like a puzzle sometimes, you know,
Yeah.
trying to figure it all out.
It can feel kind of overwhelming when you start thinking about all of the details.
Yeah, totally.
And there's a whole field of science dedicated to getting a drug to the right place and the right amount at the right time.
That's exactly what we're diving into today.
Very cool.
And we have so much information here for you.
Yes, we do.
We have information about how a simple pill dissolves in your body.
Yeah.
We have information about the really advanced science of nanotechnology and how that's being used for delivering drugs.
Wow.
We even have stuff from preclinical handbooks,
Nice.
regulatory guidelines,
Oh, very
and
cool.
even real-world examples from organic process research.
That's
So
awesome.
we have a lot of stuff to cover.
So where do we even begin?
I think the best place to start is actually with the simplest idea,
Okay.
which is, you know, that familiar pill or tablet.
Right. The one we're all used to.
You swallow it and you hope it works.
Yeah.
But there's actually a surprisingly complex series of events that has to happen before that pill actually does its job.
It's a lot more than just swallow in and poof,
Yeah.
it's in your system.
Yeah, exactly. So we need to talk about something called oral bioavailability.
Okay, oral bioavailability. That's a good place to start.
Yeah, so what is oral bioavailability exactly?
So basically, it's the percentage of the drug that actually reaches your bloodstream
Okay.
in a form that's active, so it can actually do its thing.
So not everything from that pill is going where it needs to go.
Exactly. So you make a pill, and it's not like 100% of that drug is actually usable.
Right. And one of our sources actually points out three main factors that affect oral bioavailability.
Okay, what are those?
So first you have FA.
Fa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's basically how much of the drug is absorbed from your gut into your system.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then you have FG.
Evie.
Yeah, so that's how much of that absorbed drug manages to avoid getting broken down as it passes through the gut wall.
Oh, so it's running into obstacles right from the start.
Exactly. And then finally, you have FH,
FH,
and
oh
that's
yeah.
how much survives its very first trip through the liver.
Wow, so it's like a gauntlet for these drug molecules. But you
Exactly.
can actually see all of this laid out in a really neat equation.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
It kind of brings it all together.
This whole first pass thing sounds like a pretty tough challenge.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So what's going on during this initial journey through the gut and the liver?
Imagine this, you have this drug molecule, and it's all excited. It's just been absorbed from your small intestine, but it doesn't go straight into the bloodstream. Instead, it has to go through a security checkpoint first.
Oh, okay.
It travels through the portal vein to the liver.
Oh, wow.
And it also encounters enzymes within the wall of the gut itself.
So it's facing like double scrutiny.
Exactly. And these organs are metabolic powerhouses. They can start breaking down that drug molecule before it even has a chance to reach the rest of your body.
So FESH and FH are like those fractions of the drug that manage to slip past these checkpoints.
Precisely. It's like they're sneaking through.
And it makes sense because our bodies are designed to filter out anything that seems foreign.
Yeah, we have these natural defenses.
And drug developers, they have to be really clever to get around those
They
defenses.
have to find ways to make sure enough of the drug survives this initial journey.
That's probably why the oral doses of a drug are often much higher
Yeah, because you're losing some of it along the way.
than if that same drug was injected directly into the bloodstream.
Exactly, because with an injection, you bypass all those checkpoints.
Right, so it's all about strategy.
It is.
Now, when we look at a tablet, there's actually more to it than just the active ingredient
Oh,
itself.
yeah, that's true.
It's not just the medicine packed in there.
So what else is in there?
So you have these other ingredients called excipients.
Excipients. Okay.
Yeah, they're inactive ingredients.
So they don't actually have a medicinal effect themselves.
Exactly, but they play a really important role in how the tablet behaves.
Oh, that's interesting. So how do they do that?
Well, our source on developing solid oral dosage forms, they give some examples like stearic acid and magnesium stearate.
Okay, I've heard of those.
Yeah, they can affect things like how well the powdered ingredients flow during manufacturing.
So they help with the production process.
Exactly. They also affect things like the consistency of the particle sizes within the tablet.
So like how finely ground everything is.
Yeah, and they also affect the overall surface area of the tablet.
I see. So these excipients are kind of like the behind the scenes crew, making sure everything runs smoothly.
Precisely. And all of these factors can really influence how the tablet behaves in your body.
Give me an example.
Okay, so imagine the particle size is too large.
Okay.
The tablet might not dissolve quickly enough in your stomach,
Oh, exit.
which can delay the absorption of the drug.
That makes sense.
And then you have magnesium stearate.
Magnesium stearate.
Yeah, that acts as a lubricant during manufacturing.
Well, so it prevents things from sticking together.
Exactly. It stops the powder from sticking to the machinery.
So it's all about the finer details.
It is. And what's really interesting is that one single excipient can actually have multiple roles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for example, microcrystalline cellulose,
Okay.
that acts as a diluent.
A diluent. What's that?
So it basically bulks up the tablet to a manageable size.
So it's like a filler.
Exactly, but it also helps the tablet to disintegrate
Oh, that's cool.
or break apart so the drug can be released.
That's multitasking.
It's all about meticulously engineering the tablet's characteristics.
It's like designing a tiny machine.
And then you have coatings on some
Oh,
tablets.
yeah, those.
No, those sometimes colored coatings.
Yeah, what about those?
Well, we actually have a source on pharmaceutical coating technology that talks about this,
Okay.
and it mentions how the coating solution interacts with the core of the
Oh,
tablet.
so it's not just about color.
Not at all. It's about how effectively the coating ingredients can penetrate into the pores of the tablet.
Into the tiny holes inside.
Exactly. And there's even a reference to research from Elkin and Groves back in 1982 that looked at this penetration process.
Wow, so this research goes way back.
It does, and it's amazing to think that these small details, like the type of excipient or the coating, can have a big impact on how the drug is released and absorbed in your body.
It's really incredible how much science goes into something as seemingly simple as a pill.
Right, it's a really delicate balancing act.
So we've talked about oral delivery,
Right, the traditional way.
but what about other methods of getting a drug into the body?
Well, let's move on to something a little more advanced.
Right.
Let's talk about injectables.
Injectables. Oh, like shots.
Yeah, but we're not just talking about a typical shot in the arm here.
Okay, so there's more to it.
So let's start with a basic intravenous injection.
Intravenous. Okay, so IV.
Yeah, an IV bolus injection. That's where the entire dose of the drug is administered rapidly, directly into a vein.
So it goes straight into the bloodstream.
Exactly. And our source on basic pharmacokinetics explains that this method allows the drug to bypass all those absorption hurdles we talked about with oral delivery.
Because it's already in the bloodstream.
Right, and then there's continuous AV infusion.
Oh, yeah, like an IV drip.
Exactly. The drug is delivered slowly and steadily over time to maintain a constant level in the body.
So it's a controlled release.
Yeah, and interestingly, our source notes that once the continuous infusion is stopped, the way the drug concentration decreases in the body is pretty similar to that of an IV bolus injection.
Oh, that's interesting. So both methods have a similar kind of decline in drug levels.
Yeah, they follow a similar pattern.
That's pretty cool.
And then things have gotten even more advanced.
Okay.
We have these long-acting injectable medication.
Bragging. Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're designed to release the drug gradually over a longer period of time.
So you don't need to take the drug as frequently.
Exactly. And this is really helpful for managing certain medical conditions.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It improves adherence.
All right. Our source on pharmaceutical nanotechnology mentions paliperidone palmitate as a potential treatment for schizophrenia.
So with this, you could receive an injection that lasts for weeks or even months.
Exactly.
That's a game changer for patients.
It is. It can really improve how well they stick to their treatment plans.
That's huge.
It is. And then there's another really fascinating area,
What's that?
liposomes.
Liposomes. I've heard of those. They sound really tiny.
They're basically microscopic spherical sacs made of lipids.
Lipids like fats.
Exactly. So you can think of them as tiny little bubbles.
Okay.
And these liposomes can be used to encapsulate drug molecules.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's like a protective bubble around the drug.
Exactly. And that can shield the drug and potentially guide it to specific areas in the body.
Oh, wow. So it's like a targeted delivery system.
It is our guide to anti-cancer drug development actually gives a really cool example.
What's that?
Doxorubicin, which is a chemotherapy drug,
Yeah, okay.
can be trapped inside these sterically stabilized liposomes.
What does that mean, sterically stabilize?
So it means they've been engineered to be more stable in the body.
Oh, I see.
And they've shown promising results in treating cancerous tumors in dogs.
Wow, that's really amazing.
It's like hiding the drug inside a tiny package that the body can interact with in a more controlled way.
So it's not as harsh on the system.
Exactly. And liposomes aren't just for conventional drugs.
Oh, really?
Nope. Our source on advances in novel formulations and drug delivery mentions that plasmid DNA can also be encapsulated in liposomes.
Oh, wow, that's taking it to a whole new level.
This opens up possibilities for gene therapy where you're delivering genetic material to cells.
That's incredible. It's like science fiction becoming reality.
It really is. And then there are nanoparticles.
Nanoparticles even smaller than liposomes.
Yeah, much smaller. We're talking nanometers here.
Billionths of a meter.
Exactly. And our source on nanoparticles for drug delivery discusses mesoporous silica nanoparticles, or MSNs.
MSNs, okay.
These can act as a kind of nanoscale network for carrying drug molecules.
So they're like tiny delivery trucks.
Precisely. And what's really cool is that you can fine-tune their properties with incredible precision.
Like what kind of properties?
You can change their size, their shape, even the electrical charge on their surface.
Wow.
And all of this can be used to potentially target very specific cells or tissues in the body.
So you could design a nanoparticle to specifically target a tumor, for example?
That's the idea, and it's not just MSNs.
There are other types of nanoparticles.
Yeah, we also have dendrimers.
Dendrimers?
Yeah, our source on dendrimers for drug delivery describes them as highly branched, almost tree-like molecules.
Okay, so they have a unique structure.
Yeah, and scientists can attach targeting molecules called ligands to the surface of these dendrimers.
Ligands, what are those?
They're like keys that fit into specific receptors or locks on the surface of cells.
Oh, that's cool. So they can guide the dendrimer to the right place.
Exactly. And these ligands can be things like folic acid or RGD peptides.
So they're designed to bind to specific types of cells.
Exactly. And the source gives an example of using dendrimers modified with sugar molecules to deliver methotrexate.
Methotrexate, isn't that a chemotherapy drug?
It is. And this approach showed enhanced targeting to the cancer cells.
Wow. So it's all about getting the drug exactly where it needs to go.
And avoiding the healthy cells.
Right. Minimizing side effects.
Exactly. And these advanced injectable systems, they offer a lot more control over where the drug goes and how fast it's released.
It's like a whole new level of precision medicine.
It really is, but it's not all about injections.
Oh, right. There are other ways to deliver drugs.
Let's talk about transdermal patches.
Oh, yeah. Those are pretty common.
So transdermal delivery, that's where you administer a drug through the skin via a patch.
Like a nicotine patch?
Exactly. And this method also allows you to bypass the digestive system and the liver.
So you avoid that first pass metabolism.
Right. And those patches are designed to release the drug at a controlled rate, so it's absorbed gradually into the bloodstream.
It's like a slow and steady release.
Exactly. And it's not just patches.
What else is there?
Our source on pharmaceutical emulsions lists a whole bunch of other routes.
Okay, like what?
So you have ocular for delivery to the eyes.
Oh, yeah. Like eye drops?
Exactly. Then there's otologic for the ears.
For ear infections and stuff.
Right. You have nasal sprays that deliver medication through the nose.
Those are popular for allergies.
And inhalers for pulmonary delivery directly to the lungs.
That's how asthma medications are often delivered.
Then there are sublingual and buccal tablets that dissolve under the tongue or in the cheek.
Oh, yeah. Those are fast acting.
They are. Then you have rectal and vaginal suppositories.
Okay.
And even subcutaneous implants that are placed under the skin.
Wow, so there are so many options.
It's really amazing how many different strategies are used to deliver drugs.
Each method has its own advantages and disadvantages.
And they're all tailored to the specific drug and the condition being treated.
That makes sense.
And our source actually points out something really interesting.
What's that?
For formulations like emulsions and lipid-based particles. Injectable or parenteral and topical dosage forms are much more common than oral delivery.
Oh, that's interesting. Why is that?
It probably reflects the nature of those formulations and the types of drugs they're meant for.
Like maybe some drugs just aren't stable enough to survive the digestive system.
Exactly.
So different routes for different drugs.
Right. And then we have things like bioadhesive formulations for nasal delivery.
Bioadhesive, what does that mean?
So these formulations are designed to stick to the lining of the nasal passages.
Oh, I see.
And our source on pharmaceutical drug product development mentions chitosan gels for delivering insulin nasally.
So the gel sticks to the inside of the nose.
Yeah, and that helps to prolong the contact time between the drug and those absorptive surfaces.
So more of the drug gets absorbed.
Exactly.
That's pretty clever.
And we can't forget about pharmaceutical emulsions.
Right.
Our source on that topic emphasizes that when a drug is in the oil phase of an emulsion, the rate at which it's released from that oil droplet is crucial for controlling its effectiveness.
So it's about how fast the drug gets out of that oil.
Exactly. Right. And by choosing the right type and concentration of oil, you can control how quickly or slowly the drug is released into the body.
There's another layer of control.
It is. But with all these different ways to deliver drugs,
yeah,
how does the chosen delivery system actually impact whether a medicine works or not?
That's a great question, and it's a really important one.
Yeah, because it's not just about getting the drug into the body, it's about getting it to the right place at the right time and the right amount.
Exactly. The delivery system has a huge impact on the concentration of the drug at the target site,
Okay.
and also on how long that concentration is maintained.
So it affects how well the drug works
Yes, its
and
efficacy.
also the potential side effects.
Right. If the drug is going everywhere, it might cause more side effects.
Exactly. So, do you have an example of how a more targeted delivery system can actually make a difference for patients?
Definitely. Our source on biological and small molecule drug research gives a great example.
Okay, tell me about it.
It's trastuzumab emtansine.
That's a mouthful.
It's a drug used to treat HER2 positive breast cancer.
Okay.
And this drug is actually an antibody called trastuzumab that's linked to a cytotoxic agent, which basically kills cells.
So it's like a guided missile.
Exactly. The trastuzumab part targets the HER2 positive cancer cells
Okay.
and delivers that toxic payload right inside those cells.
Wow.
And this targeted intracellular delivery is really effective.
Yeah.
It actually improved efficacy in treating the cancer and reduced side effects compared to traditional chemotherapy.
So it's a win-win.
It is. It really highlights the power of targeted delivery.
Now, I remember reading about P-glycoprotein or PGP.
PGP.
Yeah, how does that fit into this whole picture?
So P-glycoprotein is a type of efflux pump.
Efflux pump, what's that?
It's a protein that pumps certain molecules, including some drugs, out of cells.
Oh, so it's like a gatekeeper.
Yeah, exactly. And
Wow.
our sources on ADME-enabling technologies and the pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics of biotech drugs, they talk about how PGP can limit the oral absorption of larger molecules like peptides and peptidomimetics.
So it can make it harder for these drugs to get into the bloodstream.
Right. And it can also interact with different drug delivery systems, potentially affecting how well they're absorbed or distributed in the body.
So drug developers have to be aware of this.
They do. They need to consider if a drug is a substrate for PGP
Okay.
and design delivery systems that can overcome this efflux mechanism.
So it's another challenge to overcome.
It is. But with all these complexities in drug delivery,
Yeah.
how do scientists even begin to design these systems?
It can't just be trial and error, can it?
Not really. It's much more sophisticated than that.
So how do they do it?
Well, they increasingly rely on a framework called quality by design, or QBD.
QBD,
Yeah.
okay.
And our source on drug manufacturing and process development describes QBD as a really systematic approach.
Okay.
It involves deeply understanding the manufacturing process and the characteristics of the final drug product.
So it's a holistic approach.
The goal is to design a really robust and reliable process that consistently delivers a high-quality medicine.
It's about building quality into the process from the start.
Exactly. And a key part of QBD is using Process Analytical Technology, or PAT.
Patty.
Yeah, our source on Introduction to Quality by Design describes PAT as a suite of advanced analytical techniques.
Okay.
They're used for real-time monitoring and control of the manufacturing process.
So you can see what's happening as it's happening.
Exactly. And you can make adjustments on the fly to ensure that the process stays within the desired parameters.
So it's all about fine-tuning.
It leads to a more consistent and predictable product.
That makes sense. But what about ensuring the stability of the drug over time?
That's really important too.
Yeah, you don't want the drug to degrade before it can be used.
Right. Our source on quality by design for biopharmaceuticals emphasizes the importance of doing stress
The
studies.
stress studies.
Yeah, to understand how a drug might degrade over time under different conditions.
So you expose the drug to extreme conditions.
It's exactly like temperature changes, pH variations, exposure to
To
light.
see how it holds up.
Right. And this helps scientists develop formulations and packaging strategies that protect the drug and keep it stable.
So it's about maximizing shelf life.
It is.
We've covered so much ground today.
We have from simple pills to nanoparticles.
It's been quite a journey.
What's the main takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
The key thing is that drug delivery technology is incredibly diverse and absolutely essential for how well our medicines work and how safe they are.
I agree. It's not just about getting a drug into the body. It's about getting it to the right place at the right time in the right way.
Exactly. We've seen how the formulation, the route of administration, all these factors can significantly impact a medicine's effectiveness and safety.
Absolutely. And what we've discussed today is just the tip of the iceberg.
Right. Each delivery system has its own complexities, and there's so much ongoing research and development in this field.
It's in a constantly evolving area.
So here's a thought for our listeners to ponder. With all these incredible advancements in drug delivery,
Yeah.
can you imagine a future where medicine is truly personalized?
Personalized medicine, that's a big topic these days.
It is, and I'm not just talking about tailoring the drug to your specific needs.
What else?
I'm talking about personalizing the way the drug is delivered to you.
Wow. So optimizing the delivery method for each individual.
Exactly. Because we know that people respond differently to drugs.
Right. Some people absorb drugs better than others.
And some people experience more side effects.
So personalized drug delivery could help to address these issues.
It could make medicine more effective and safer for everyone.
That's a really exciting prospect.
It is, and it highlights how pharmaceutical science is constantly pushing the boundaries to find better ways to deliver the medicines we need.
It's all about improving health outcomes.
Exactly. Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive into drug delivery technologies.
It's been a pleasure.
It really has been.
There's so much to explore in this field.
There is, and we've only just scratched the surface.
But hopefully this gives our listeners a good overview.
I think it does, and it gives them something to think about.
Definitely the future of drug delivery is full of possibilities.
It really is, and it's going to be fascinating to see what new innovations emerge.
I can't wait.
Me neither.